Frozen in Time by Ali Sparks. Chapter 10. The next day began sunny, with screaming. Rachel was hurtled out of sleep by the sound of Polly waking up and realising that yesterday hadn't been a dream after all. "It's okay! It's okay!" She grabbed Polly's arm, still dealing with her own self of unreality. "You're all right! You're safe!" Polly stared at her and then shut her eyes. When she opened them again, she looked more composed. "Sorry," she said. "Oh, gosh! I'm really sorry. Bess's wet the bed. Oh, no, she's eaten a bit of Ritzy." Rachel winced. Her chats doll was still pouting and smirking despite having her left leg gnawed off at the knee and being covered in puppy drool. Bess thumped her tail and looked very proud. "I think we'll have to get her a basket and lay down some newspapers in the kitchen or something," suggested Polly, looking very guilty. "Yes. We can do that today. Don't worry about it," said Rachel. She lay back in bed and felt her brain stretching and flipping like a mad gymnast as she tried all over again to believe that she was sharing a bedroom with a girl and a puppy from 1956. A second later, the door burst open, with only a hint to knock beforehand, and Freddie and Ben spilled in. "The sun's out again," said Ben, "and I think we might be able to go on our bikes, all of us." "We've only got two bikes," pointed out Rachel. She couldn't imagine Polly doing a doubler somehow. "No, we've got four," beamed Ben. "Freddie and I have been right through to the back of the old garage, and guess what? Their bikes are still there." "Really? After 53 years? Aren't they just a heap of rust?" "No," said Freddie. "They've been under a heap of old sacking, so they've stayed quite dry. Just need a bit of oil and a pump-up. Come on, you two lazy bones. Stir your stumps. We've already had breakfast." Half an hour later, after eating boiled eggs and toast, with cups of tea which Polly had insisted on neatly laying out on the table once more, and feeding Bess with some food scraps, the girls were outside by the garage, helping Ben and Freddie work on the old bikes. It was utterly weird, thought Rachel, seeing the very same bike that Freddie had ridden across the old video screen before their eyes only hours before, still here 53 years later. The bike had not worn as well as its rider. In spite of the sacking over it, there was a fair bit of rust on its wheels, and the basket was mouldy. Rachel poked at it with a revolting finger. "We'll have to chuck this away." Polly looked appalled. "Why on earth would we throw it away? All it needs is a good clean." "It's mouldy," protested Rachel. "It'll be perfectly all right after we've given it a wipe down with carbolic," maintained Polly. "You do have carbolic these days, I suppose." "What's carbolic?" asked Ben. "Soap, you dolt," laughed Freddie, pistoning the old back bicycle pump with vigour. "Well, I've got antibacterial cleaning spray," said Rachel. "I'll go and get one of them from under the sink, and some hot water and cloths." She expected Polly to be unimpressed, but in fact, as soon as she'd got the hang of it, she was quite pleased with the spray. "It really cleans 95% of all known bacteria." "Dead?" she marvelled. "That's jolly good." And she was right. The mould on the basket was only a thin layer, and after they'd sprayed and scrubbed at it for a few minutes, it looked fine. "See," said Polly, "good as new. Waste not, want not. Oh, Bessie, don't try to drink the dirty water, you silly goose." Polly's bike was smaller than Freddie's, but very similar in shape. Also, with a basket on the front, it creaked and groaned as they wheeled it out from under all the junk at the back of the garage. But after they'd all set to work again, pumping up the tyres, oiling and cleaning, it too was in good working order. "I'm amazed the tyres haven't crumbled away," said Ben, "but they seem okay. We'll probably need to replace them soon, though." Their own bikes didn't need so much attention, just a quick wipe down and a pump-up. Polly and Freddie stood back in awe as Ben wheeled out his black and red Volcano mountain bike with its 21 gears, shock absorbers and chunky all-terrain tyres. Rachel's was a bright green lizard with 18 gears, shock absorbers and glistening discs set into the spokes of each wheel, which glittered and spun wildly as she pedalled. "Oh, heck," said Freddie, glancing at his own bike with less appreciation now. "We are going to look so terribly old-fashioned." No, it's kind of cool," said Ben, although he had no idea what any of the other kids in small town would make of it. "Right then," said Freddie. "Where to?" Ben considered. He needed to protect these strangers to the 21st century. Like Uncle Jerome said, they had to be introduced to it gradually. "I know," he said to Rachel, "the farm shop. We could go out there and definitely get what we need for Bess, and it's a nice ride on country lanes. We go up the hill, across the track and onto a really quiet road. We don't have to go into town just yet." "Okay," nodded Rachel, "good idea. How long do you think it'll take to get there, though? I think it's about 5 miles, isn't it?" She looked at her handlebars doubtfully. 5 miles? Pish, that's nothing," said Freddie. "We've got 20 miles or more in a day, don't we, Poll?" "Yes, but not without a good picnic," said Polly. "We can't go off without our lunch. And with that, she rested her bike on its little kickdown stand and went back inside, Bess at her heels, to the kitchen. "Come on, Rachel," she called back. "We can't let the boys starve, can we?" Ben snorted with laughter and Rachel narrowed her eyes. "Don't think you'll be getting this kind of treatment for long," she muttered at him, while Freddy looked mystified. "It's only while she gets used to things. You can both do the next picnic, and don't think you're getting out of it." She stumped off after Polly with a toss of her blonde ponytail. Freddy pulled a face at Ben. "What's up with her?" Ben shrugged. Things are a bit different these days with girls. You can't go around expecting them to sort out all your food for you and iron your clothes and stuff." "Why not? I fix her bike for her and get spiders out of the bath and all that. Fair trade, I say. And girls are good at cooking and laundry and sewing and all that. They all want a nicely run home, don't they?"
"Nope," said Ben, as he shook his head.
"Not anymore." "Oh, Lordy," said Freddy. "Things really have gone badly, haven't they? I say, can I have a crack at your bicycle?"
The sun shone down brightly as the four pedalled vigorously along the lane. Two of them carried backpacks, one had a red-cheeked cloth tucked across the top of the basket hanging from her handlebars, and one had a puppy sitting up in his.
"Hurrah!" shouted Polly. "How I love the holes! Just weeks and weeks without any school. We're going to have such fun and such adventures."
"Stop hurrahing and keep pedalling," shouted back Freddy. "I nearly went into the back of you then.
I say, sit down, Bessie. You're too little to run along with us. You might get squashed."
"Oh, won't it be lovely when she is big enough to run along with us," sang Polly. She could be our guard dog too, just in case we ever bump into any bad sorts. You'd protect us, wouldn't you, Bessie?"
"Woof," said Bessie, and Freddy and Polly laughed. Ben and Rachel would have laughed too, but they were having difficulty breathing.
"Could you just slow down a bit?" gasped Ben, feeling as though someone had dumped a small truck on his chest. He'd never seen any other kid race up Poppycock Hill with such speed and still be able to speak.
As soon as they'd started out from Darkwell House, Freddy and Polly were away and shooting past old Percy as he ambled on up the hill after his usual rest on their gate, so fast that his peaked cap blew off. He was still dusting it off and looking shocked when Ben and Rachel strained past, clicking desperately through their many gears.
"Oh, Ben, don't be such a girl," shouted back Freddy. "You've only just been going for 5 minutes and you're already coming over all queer."
"Really? I must remind you," puffed Ben, "not to say that."
"Well, honestly, with all your clever tyres and unshockable suspension, you'd think you and Rachel would be miles ahead of us." Freddy glanced back scornfully.
Ben gritted his teeth. "Just wait till we go off-road," he gasped out. "Then we'll show you."
At last they reached the top of the hill and could speed down the other side, catching their breath. Even here Freddy and Polly outstripped them, their narrow road tyres slick across the tarmac.
"Jolly good road," shouted back Polly. "Not nearly as many ruts and holes as there were yesterday. I say, can we get ices at this farm shop? Oh, do say we can. There's nothing quite as lovely as an ice after a bicycle ride on a sunny day."
"Yeah, I think so," shouted Rachel, finally getting enough breath back to speak.
"And I think they sell magnums."
Freddy's brakes screeched and Bessie's ears, which had been flattened inside out to the side of her furry brown head, flopped backwards.
"You mean they sell guns alongside ices these days?"
"No, you doofus," laughed Ben. "It's a kind of ice cream lolly thing, loads of chocolate on it. Revolting, I think, but Rachel loves them."
The farm shop car park had only 3 cars in it. They were enough to bring Freddy and Polly screeching to a halt again. Freddy only just grabbed Bess before she was catapulted out. The brother and sister looked at the cars, a new Mini, a Ford Mondeo and a VW Golf, in awed silence.
"Blimey, O'Reilly," murmured Freddy eventually. He got off his bike, rested it on its stand and ran his fingers lightly over the shiny green bonnet of the Mini.
"I didn't think they could get a motor car to be this neat and small. Where do they fit in the engine?"
"It's got a window on the roof," cried Polly, who had also rested her bike and gone to peer at the Golf.
"Gosh! And a television set in it too. How on earth can you do that? Surely you don't watch television and drive."
"No, it's a sat-nav," explained Ben.
"A sat-nav? What's that?"
Freddy went to look in the Golf's window.
"Satellite navigation. It sends information into the car, onto the screen, from a kind of giant camera in space which can track wherever you go."
Freddy looked appalled.
"Sounds ghastly, like something out of Flash Gordon."
Polly nodded. "Yes, like you're being spied on by the Galactic Bureau of Investigation. How dreadful."
"Well, no, it's really just to help you get to places without fumbling about with a map book," said Rachel, resting her bike against the telegraph pole and unwinding her locking cable.
"That's what they want you to think," said Freddy darkly.
"Okay, moving on," said Ben. "Ice cream, remember?"
Oh, yes, ices. Polly clapped her hands. Bring your bike over to mine, Polly. We need to lock them up, said Rachel. Freddy can lock his to Ben's.
Lock them? Why? Asked Polly.
Well, they might get stolen.
Polly looked astounded.
By bad sorts, added Rachel.
Polly's eyes shot wide open.
Bad sorts? Do you have them around here?
Rachel smiled at her. Welcome to the 21st century. Bad sorts are around everywhere.
Polly was still looking fearfully about her when they went into the farm shop. It was a modest place with tools and animal feed at one end and more general hardware and some snacks and sweets in the other. They found a metal bowl, a bag of puppy food and a small squashable dog bed which Ben could fit into his backpack. He'd got an empty one with him for just this purpose, and then went to the big freezer chest with ice creams and lollies in it. Next to it was a glass-fronted fridge filled with cans and bottled water.
So much choice,
Polly was muttering, peering into the freezer chest. What to have? Gosh, look at the twinkly wrappings, Freddy. Oh, look, this one looks like a helter-skelter.
Better steer them away from the really colourful ones, Ben muttered to Rachel, who was carrying Bessie. They're full of E-numbers and they'll probably go bonkers after they eat them. They're not used to it.
Go for a cornetto, advised Rachel. You'll love those, mint or strawberry or vanilla. The helter-skelter ones aren't that good.
Ben got a couple of cans of Coke for them all to share and some water for Bessie, and Freddy looked on, dazzled by the array of 7-Up and Sprite and Dr. Pepper and Tango. A rainbow of cans glistened through the glass in a way that Ben had never really noticed before. At the till, a sulky girl in a stained green apron slouched on one elbow. Ben and Freddy gathered up the cornettos and Cokes and went across to her.
No, look, I say. Let me get these, said Freddy, digging his hands into his shorts pocket and extracting some clunky old coins.
Ben stared at them in fascination. They were shillings, he was sure of it, and a sixpence and several huge old pennies.
How much, miss? Asked Freddy politely while the girl chewed noisily and looked at him with immense boredom.
She got up and rang the cornettos and Cokes through the till and said, £5.75, with a flash of a tooth-imprinted gum across her tongue.
Freddy looked astounded. How much? I mean, is that 5 shillings?
She stared at him as if he were an idiot.
Stop messing her about. Ben gave him a nudge with his elbow and handed the girl a fiver and a pound coin. He and Rachel had built up quite a bit of pocket money that summer, having nowhere to go and nothing to do. Freddy and Polly tried not to look amazed at the money. Of course, thought Rachel, they didn't know anything about decimal coins, and £5 or more would seem like a huge amount to them. The girl snatched the money from Ben and glared at Freddy, and as she turned her head, Polly clapped her hand over her mouth to stifle a scream, while her eyes stretched wide with horror.